Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, guys, let's stand up in reverence to God's word as we read the scripture for this morning. Acts 1 verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait from the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took them out of their sight.
Father, we thank you this morning, God, that your desire is to not just leave us on our own, but your desire is to be with us, Lord, as your witnesses where you've called us to be. God, a lot of this is our purpose. This is our reason for life and what we're going to be talking about today. So, God, we pray that we'd hear directly from you. Lord, enable us to have ears to hear. Enable myself and our special guest speaker today to just be aligned with what you desire to impart to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to see you all here this morning. As I said, we've got someone special coming to share in just a bit. So let me set the table for all of this. The title of our message, and as you know, we're going through this series called A Disciple Is, and we wanted to talk about how a disciple is empowered. Now, many of you will notice we've been going through the four E's of our discipleship process here at Every Nation Brisbane. And so we talked about how a disciple is firstly engaged with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are engaged so they can help engage others in the culture and the community that they're in. Then we talked about being established. Henry and I were just sharing about being solidified in a firm foundation, having an unshakable faith. And then I talked about last week about being equipped, that Jesus' desire for us as disciples is to grow in our faith. It's not to remain stagnant in our faith, but to grow and mature. And we talked about the different ways that we can mature, and I'll get to that in a bit. But today we're talking about the empowerment of the disciple of Christ, that as followers of Jesus, you are not just called, but you're empowered. Empowered. Turn to somebody, encourage them with that. God has called you to be empowered by his Spirit. Go ahead, tell them.
I got the power.
And so we have in this discipleship process many opportunities for you to be equipped. So for instance, if you're relatively new to the faith, how many of you have heard of the one-to-one booklet? Yeah, or the one-to-one app? Yeah, well, put your hands up if you have. Keep your hands up if you've done the one-to-one. Now, does anybody here not done the one-to-one? Anybody here not know what that is? But the one-to-one is our foundational tool that we use to help Christians to establish their faith, to understand what they believe. How many of you know, like, there's a lot of Christians that say they're Christian, but they don't know what they actually believe as Christians. So it's important for us to understand what we believe. And so we also have Foundations for Victory. I don't have a purple book on me to give away, but we have purple books at the guest services table. And these are the tools that we use to help unpack the foundational tenets of our faith. And then we also have For Freedom, the For Freedom sessions. Part of that, attached to that, is the Healing Shame seminars. How many of you have been impacted by those? They've been really powerful. I heard we had a powerful session on Tuesday night with the Healing Shame session that we had. That is also because part of building a new solid foundation is tearing up some of the old foundations that we have. You can't build new foundations on old stuff that's broken down. So you need to tear up old foundations and break new ground so that you can put in new foundations. So that's a lot of what we do there. And then we have the Making Disciples class, of which today is the last session. Really excited about that because we're going to have a lot of fun just closing out the Making Disciples session. Then next year, we will be starting our leadership school again. For those of you who've done Leadership 215, we've revamped it. We're going to be doing that again. So anyway, that's a lot of how we solidify, at least within this context here at Every Nation Brisbane, that's how we solidify this discipleship journey. But it's a lot more than just doing classes. Discipleship is a journey in relationship with one another as the body of Christ towards God. So it's loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, but also loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so last week we were talking about how you mature, and many of you will remember this image. We talked about the measure of maturity is based on scripture is fruitfulness, right? Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, if you want to go back to 21, it expands there. But it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody remember them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And it says, of these things there is no law, meaning there's no restriction on these things. You can grow beyond, you can grow, and you can't love too much, you can't have too much patience. These are things that we should all earnestly desire to see in our lives. And so fruitfulness is measured by Christian character. But also in John chapter 15, we talked about how fruitfulness is also measured in how we make disciples. God's called us to be fruitful in evangelism as well. And that it comes out of an abundance of God in our lives that we naturally want to tell people about Jesus. We naturally want to build relationships with others that don't know Jesus, and we engage them, and then we see how we can help bring them into maturity themselves. So fruitfulness is also measured by disciple making, according to John 15. He is the vine, we are the branches, and as his disciples, we are also called to bear fruit in discipleship. And last week, we also quoted Mark Sayers, pastor of Red Church down in Melbourne, who said this, that the reason why there's no fruitfulness is because society is drowning in freedoms, but thirsting for meaning. And I gave this analogy last week about going down to Coles or Woolies or Aldi's, maybe not as much Aldi's because Aldi's has a more limited selection, which is good. How many of you are Aldi fans? Aldi. Yeah, all right. How many of you like the middle aisle in Aldi? You know, you got all the regular stuff, then you got that, it's what I call the aisle that I didn't know I needed this aisle. How many of you know that aisle, right? You're walking down, oh, well, I didn't know I needed a tennis racket, but, you know, I'm going to buy me it's $7.99. I'll be like Federer. Obviously, it's got the same quality. But you don't know what you need until you go down the middle of Aldi. And so when you walk past the shampoo aisle at Aldi, at least it's limited. But when you go to Coles or Woolies, right, the shampoo aisle is like the whole aisle, right? You're like, I just want to wash my hair. And so what I talked about last week is because we have such a plethora of choices, it often cripples us to step out and how God has called us to fruitfulness. And so what we live in here in Australia is this consumerist mentality towards our Christianity. And what this means is we've got so many choices of churches. We've got so many choices of podcasts now. You know, you don't even need to go to church. You just pop on YouTube now. And you and YouTube is church now. How many of you know that's not God's intention? God's intention is for community. And so I'm glad that you said, you know, by coming here today, you said a podcast is not enough. I must be with, no, it's not with me. I know you didn't come here for me, but you came here to be around the body of Christ because this is the church, right? Doing relationship with one another is the church. And so, see, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 18 says this, okay? Here's one for you to memorize. God places us in the body as he sees fit, not as Google sees fit. But as he sees fit, he puts you in the body as he sees fit. So we need to ask ourselves, God, is this where you want me to be? Is this where you want me to grow and to mature in Christ? So just where we land here, right? In Acts chapter 1, the verses that were so beautifully and elegantly read by my brother Martin. And while staying with them, this is Jesus, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. How many of you know that in order to live as a Christian, you need the power of the Holy Spirit? Man, that's like half a person that said yes on that. Now half was Henry. Anybody else agree with me? Like, the struggle is real. Hashtag the struggle is real. In order to live out our Christianity in modern day 2019 Australia, that without the Holy Spirit, you're basically up the creek without a paddle or a boat. You know, you're stuffed, man. You need the Holy Spirit, right, to guide you, but also to lead you away from temptation, to make wise decisions. You need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, look, I'm about to jet, boys, but I'm not going to leave you alone. John baptized with water, which was symbolic of, remember, going under the water, cutting off of the old man, coming up out of the water, declaring your new life in Christ. But you're going to need the Holy Spirit. This is the mark of a real Christian, is that they are baptized, they are covered in the Holy Spirit. They are full of the Holy Spirit. Now look at what he says here. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So it's the same author speaking to the same disciples. He says, wait. How many of you know, as Christians, in 2019, we don't like to wait. Fast food, fast fat, fast diet, fast death, right? It's just, he says, wait, stay in the city until you're clothed from power from on high. And so when they did this, coming back to Acts 1, when they had come together, then they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, here's the thing. See, Israel and the Jewish people at the time were under extreme oppression by the Roman Empire. You remember this? And so their idea of this coming Messiah that was prophesied in places like Isaiah 53, where a servant king would emerge and eradicate all the powers that would cause oppression. So they were waiting for Jesus to lay the smack down like the rock upon the Roman Empire. And so when Jesus went to the cross, remember, all the disciples weren't there except for John. They basically, stuff this, man. We've lost. They'd lost all hope, remember? And they all went fishing because they basically go, oh, man, we might as well give up. This Jesus is not going to get rid of the Caesars and all of that. But Jesus is resurrected on the third day. And you'll remember who was the first at the tomb? Was it the disciples? Who was it? The sisters, right? Go on, girl. Go on, girl. Get you some. Praise the Lord. See, the men had given up. Oh, he's not coming back. The women were like, no, he's coming back. He's coming back, girlfriend. You better be there at the tomb. They were the first ones to believe and proclaim that he was alive. And so here they are. Oh, because he's alive, maybe he's come back to eradicate the Romans. So they're like, woo, he's back to lay the smack down. You know, it's like the wrestling match. How many of you like WWE or WWF? You know, the real wrestling. Yeah? Three honest people here. Back when I was growing up, okay? Because it's a little different now. Wrestling's a little different now. Like, back when I was growing up, you know, you had wrestlers like Hulk Hogan. Oh, wow. Can I get a witness? Huh? Come on, somebody. And you remember Hulk Hogan, he wasn't even actually a great wrestler. He was just a great entertainer. And it was always like, he'd be on the ground, and whoever it was, Andre the Giant or like King Kong Bundy, would have him on the ground and, you know, like fake tomato sauce coming out of his mouth, like it's really blood. And it was always, remember this? It's always one, two, three. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, he's back. And, you know, Jesse the Body Ventura is on the microphone. Oh, he's coming back. Hulkamania's still alive. And so that's the way these disciples were looking at Jesus, was like, oh, he's still alive. He's coming to lay the smack down on the Roman Empire. And Jesus says to them, no, actually, that's not what, because they're asking him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. In other words, nah. But you, oh, me, no, I thought it was you. But you will receive power. Everybody say power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Now let's break down a few key words here. Firstly, we want to look at this word witness, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit, when God himself and Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now that word witness is the Greek word martyros. Martyros. You can say that. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I learned something new today. Martyros. Now this is obviously the Greek word of which we get the English word. What can you get from that? Martyr from. So it's not just somebody who saw something, but somebody who was so convicted by what they've seen and experienced that they're willing to lay their lives down for it. That's what it means to be a witness in this context. And every single one of the disciples, again, except John, would die the most cruel death of persecution because they were martyrs. Are you with me? So that's the sort of witness, because God had to give them the power to be that witness so that they wouldn't cower under the Roman Empire, but be living examples of how that faith shines throughout generations. Now, martyrs in Jerusalem. Now, I'm gonna highlight these specific areas. Firstly, you've got Jerusalem, which is the city or your immediate sphere of influence that God has called you to. Every single one, how many people of God here? How many Christians or witnesses do we have here? All right. All right. So for those of you who have your hands up, the immediate vicinity around you, and I'm not just talking geographically, but I'm talking about your career, I'm talking about your school, I'm talking about your family. That's your Jerusalem. That's your Jerusalem. That's the Jerusalem God's called you to be a witness in, right? That people around you should be able to witness and see the Christ that is alive in you. Like we were talking about, we're alive in him. That no matter what fire we walk through, we will be martyrs or witnesses empowered by his Spirit. So it's Jerusalem. And then it's Judea, which is regional. Now, our Judea, unless you're visiting here from another country, is our immediate surroundings around us here in Brisbane, the third largest city in this great nation of Australia, the best city in Australia. Amen. That's not a beach. This is a beach, right? Like that's what I say when I go to Sydney or Melbourne. That's not a beach. Judea, the surrounding area. And look, let me just speak to this really quickly, all right? No matter how long you've been here, this is your Judea. If you've been here 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades, this is your Judea as long as you're living here. Because the attitude is, my Judea is somewhere else. No, your Judea is right here where God has called you to. And so there's an attitude change. Like so many of us in this room have migrated from other nations. Or like for me, right, as a New Zealander, as the world champions of rugby, I'm prophesying right now, right? Just watch. Watch and learn, everybody. Watch and learn. Listen, look, and listen. Huh? That's not my Judea anymore. This is my Judea. And that's a miracle for a Kiwi to admit that this is his Judea in Australia. And until we have that attitude change, which can only come by the Holy Spirit, we miss out on what God is doing right here. God has you right here. And although I will never wear a Wallabies jersey, I will gladly lay my life down for this nation that is my own, except on the rugby field, all right? And then to the ends of the earth. Oh, we love the romanticism of going to the ends of the earth. I want to go to the nations, you know? And how many of you know that we live in a metropolitan city here? It's a burgeoning city, and sure, it's not as metropolitan as Sydney and Melbourne, but it's definitely on the rise. And that's what I love about being here on not the ground level, but you can see it starting to emerge really quickly. And we are entering into a new season with Brisbane, if you see it prophetically, and also just by looking at the statistics of how God is growing this city, even within just looking around this church and how intercultural this church is. We have so many people from, take a look at how beautiful you are. Go on, take a look. So beautiful. It's so beautiful to see how God brings people from all nations, all backgrounds, all generations together. So it's not just going to the nations so you can take a selfie of yourself on a missions trip. But it's also recognizing the mission field right here. It's every city and every nation, but it's also every nation and every city, starting with ours. And then it's Samaria. And this is where I want to kind of hand it over to our special speaker today. Samaria, right? Like, can you imagine? First of all, Jesus doesn't say he's going to eradicate the Romans. He says, but you guys will be my martyrs, meaning, oh, it's on us, and oh, we might die. But you will travel to Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth. But when he said this word behind me on the screen, Samaria, can you imagine? Oh, yeah, I can take Jerusalem. I can take Judea. Samaria, though. How many of you have heard that, like, the connotation of the Samaritans amongst the Israelite people? They were the outcasts. Remember when they were in exile, right? 700 years before the arrival of Jesus on the scene, they were taken into exile, into Assyria, and then into Babylon. And so they were mostly lived in just north of Jerusalem, heading towards Galilee. So the people of Samaria were generally poorer. And what happened was that when they went into exile, because they were poor and not that educated, they succumbed a lot to the old worship of the Babylonians and the Syrians. And then they mixed with those people And so when they returned back, they were kind of, you know, they'd raised up a whole generations, many generations of what we call half-caste people. And so they were frowned upon by the Jewish believers, the Judaizers, right? Because they weren't purebreds, so to speak. So when they came back, not only were they poor, but now they were mixed. And so they would have, you know, the Jewish, remember, all the disciples are Jewish. And so they're listening to Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jerusalem, we can do that. Judea, yeah, that's our region. Samaria, oh, that's like the other side. That's like those guys over there. Why do we have to go to Samaria? And this is where I want to introduce Lily, who's going to come up and share with us about what it means to be an empowered believer and what it looks like to go to your Samaria today. Can you welcome Lily as she comes, everybody?
Come on, y'all can do better than that. Let me help you.
Good morning, family. How are you doing this morning? Holy Spirit, help me. I pray that you speak through me and that your people will hear your word. Not my words, but your word. All right. So every time I hear about the power of the Holy Spirit or my experience with the power of the Holy Spirit, I think of this. That might be just me. I don't know about you, but with my experience in terms of my journey and how he has empowered me, I automatically think of superheroes because I'm kind of like, you know, like the normal Peter Parker. And then when the Holy Spirit comes on you, all of a sudden you're fearless, all of a sudden you're bold. You know, those are some of the things that for me, I look back and I'm like, how did I do that? So it's like when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on me, I'm just like, I'm able to do things that I said that it was impossible, that I said that I could have never done, but only the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to just to put this up. So don't look at DC and Marvel. The question I want to put out is, if you were a superhero, who would you be and why? If you were a superhero, is Wakanda up there? Yeah. Who would you be and why? Yeah. Okay, so like what Nelly said, my name is Lily. You might know me as that girl that kind of helps lead worship on Sundays, or that girl that is at every Freedom Weekend for the women because she needs as much healing as every day she needs healing. I'm helping out Tina. Or you might know me as that girl that goes into, that runs a men's program in the men's prison. Or then you also might know me as the girl that runs a non-for-profit organization out in the community that runs, uses creative arts to bring hope to young people and to just into our community in general. All is true and all has been what the power of the Holy Spirit has helped me do through my journey. But before all of this, the background about this girl. So before any of that, this girl, like what Nelly said, some of us have migrated, you know, to different countries. And this girl migrated to New Zealand from Samoa. I was born in Samoa, migrated to New Zealand with little to no English. Let's be honest, no English. And so did most of my schoolings in New Zealand. And then the second point is because of no English, this girl was also bullied a lot in high school. You know how we are, and bullied mainly by our own people, by the Samoans, you know, teasing and, you know, fob and all of that. And because of this, I lost a lot of confidence. And there really was, for me, really was no purpose. I didn't understand why I was even there. Also, this girl was sexually abused at the age of 6. All the way through from the age of 6 to the age of 12 until we migrated to New Zealand. And so with everything that was going on as a young teenage girl, bullied and sexually abused, I lost my trust in men altogether. And so my journey wasn't it was pretty tough during those teenage years. And so at the age of 19, through all this tough, you know, through all the hard journey and what I've been through, at the age of 19, I contemplated suicide. And this is what I don't share much. But also at the age of 19, after watching a lot of my high school friends go into university, I was also, someone shared the gospel to me. And I saw some of my friends live out the life that I wanted. And I was like, what do you have? Like, you know, you walk with purpose, you walk with something. And they didn't know that at that time in my life, I was already thinking, I don't belong here. And also at that time was when I met the most amazing campus minister, Nelly Atinga, and who also shared the gospel. I was 19 back then. And from then, my life changed dramatically. And that was when the Holy Spirit entered. Before power or any of that. I wanted to quickly talk to you about how I came about from being powerless to finding purpose. How the Holy Spirit empowered me to radical obedience that was even beyond my own will and abilities. The first point, I shared a little bit that I run a non-for-profit organization with an amazing team. It would have never happened without the team, the team of volunteers. My story 61 started, as I shared a little bit, being sexually abused. I was lost. I had unforgiveness in my heart, and I just thought that it was impossible to even forgive. I thought that, okay, I can just put that on the side and move on. But after being baptized, I think there was a picture up there. I got baptized in 19. I went through discipleship. I went through life group. And I remember Nu. I don't know if you remember Nu. Back in the days where we sat down, we're like, yeah, I was so on fire. Like, no, like when you first give your life to Jesus, I was like, oh my gosh, there's something there. And there was also a spiritual family. And I remember sitting in this life group. And she goes, okay, first question, do you hate anyone? You know, I was like, no, I don't hate anyone. You know, like life is, like it's good now. Like I'm just, because I've completely forgotten. Like it was just like, that's what you do. You forget about it. You move on. And you don't know that that is a wound. And that out of that can cause a lot of things that we go through in life, which is another story. But I was like, no, I don't hate anyone. And she goes, just think about it. I was like, who's this? And so I was like, okay, cool. Right there and then it was like, then I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but right there and then the Holy Spirit reminded me, remember what happened to you when you were little? And I was automatically like, this hate just came up, you know, and I was like, yes, you know, like I hate this person. Everything in me was like, mm-mm, like there is no way. Do you not tell me right tonight that I am going to forgive this person, you know? And so I was able to share. And from there, they prayed and they said, she said to me, well, you know, you might not have it right now, but we can pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the power to forgive. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, like, you know, but we will pray that the Holy Spirit will give you power to forgive. Literally, I'm not lying at all. A couple of weeks later on down the track, God started to do the healing in me. And I can say that I went to her and I was crying and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to forgive this person. Like, I actually want to forgive this person. She goes, why? Well, I read the Bible and it says that sin separates me from God, you know, and you said in our life group that unforgiveness is sin. And so she, you know, she saw that God was beginning to change my life and that the Holy Spirit had already, you know, revealed these things to me. So I was able to forgive. Anyways, fast forward. My story 61 started when I was already serving at youth at church. So discipleship, life group, I was already putting myself in these environments where I knew it would help me. And so I was sent to the United States, LA, to just to visit my family. And because my uncle heard that I was already helping out the youth, like 2 weeks in youth, and he's like, oh, you're helping and speaking to young people, come, you know. And I was like, okay, so cool, like, you know. And I thought it was like a church youth group so that it was easy to talk to. And now I was juvenile youth group, so it was all the kids in the California prisons. And he was like, yeah, it's all right. You know, they'll have guards there. They scan them as they come through. You're at the back with us. You just speak, you know, do what you're doing. And I was like, what? Like, you know, well, what if they pull out their guns? Like, it was all, no, they scan them at the door. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And so right there and then, it was funny because I'm wearing the T-shirt for the camp and it says prison break. That was the theme. I just saw it. That was the theme, was prison break. And as I was sitting in there with these young people, again, I was like, God, I cannot speak to these young people. What to talk to them about. I don't even know, you know, what to say. And God said, I will speak through you. So anyways, I just got up, started speaking. And then a young person came through, one of some of the young girls that I was, you know, trying to encourage. And she started sharing to me about being raped and living with a person that is doing that to her. And then another person came and said, you know, that the father is beating their mom and living with the person right now. It's still current. And then another girl came through and, you know, talked about how she wants to commit suicide. Another girl came through and talked about how, you know, she is in depression. And I sat there and something stirred in me and God said, I did not heal you or save you for you to sit and not do anything about it. The power that you have inside of you, the power that you have experienced, that's for you to help other people. I've empowered you so that you can speak life, so you can heal, and so that you can lead those young people to me. I didn't, and I was like, okay, you know, but I need to know if this is you. You know how God speaks to you like so loud and clear, but you're still like, I don't know, maybe, you know. But I was still young then, and so I said, God, show me in your word. And that's where Isaiah 61, that's the scripture God showed me. Open the scriptures, and it says, I have anointed you to preach the good news to the poor. You guys all know that scripture? And that is, that's what happened. He showed me that this was the purpose. This was my purpose. He was going to change my pain into purpose. He was to change what happened to me so that someone else could have and could come to know their purpose in life. And that's how my story 61 started. I flew from the United States, and I said, God, well, I don't know how this is going to work, but you're going to have to show me. And that is where he showed me. What I was studying back then was performing arts. And he said, use performing arts to tell the stories. Use, you know, performance to share about hope. And that's how you can reach young people. And that's how my story 61 started. It was pretty much out of it was injustice that was done. And I wanted to help, and I wanted to do something about it. I didn't want someone else to go through the same thing that I've gone through and not know this Jesus that healed me and that saved me. And my story 61 then was birthed. Later on, I thought everything was cool. And I was like, okay, this is nice, you know, do the programs, help the young people. I am empowered, you know. And then God took it to another level, sent me to Brisbane. And came to Brisbane and was thinking, you know, I want to go back and just work and do the usual. Maybe have my story, do some youth programs out in the community, you know, comfortable now because I knew that this is what God. And he, in one of our youth camps that we attended, a prison officer came through. And she watched the program, or she heard about the program, and was so stirred in her spirit. She said, this has to come into our men's prison. And she contacted me and said, Lily, this has to come into our men's prison. And I was like, no way. I was like, men's prison? I have nothing to do with that. Look, my ministry is youth and women. I will, you know, that would be it. And she said, just think about it. Went back a couple of weeks later, it never went away. You know how you go into prayer, like you have your time with Jesus, and you're like, thank you, Lord, you know, reading, getting encouraged, and he because you're hearing him clearly, he says the same thing. It doesn't change his mind, guys. And I would go into the quiet, you know, I would go for my nice walks and, you know, be on my knees praying the same thing. Do it again. And I'm thinking, oh, if it changes mine, I'm pretty sure. It's kind of like us when our dads tell us, go wash the dishes, and then we go do everything else but wash the dishes because we don't like to wash the dishes. And then we're like, Dad, you know, I vacuumed the house. Yeah, Dad's like, yeah, but I told you to go wash the dishes, you know. Because it's not about that actual chore. It's about obedience. Yeah, it's about, are you going to do what I actually told you to go and do? And we do a lot of that. We go, you know, there's that one sin or that one thing that he's like, I need you to get that right first, the basic Lily. And we go around and we're like, I'm going to church. I'm reaching out to young people. I'm doing this. And God's like, yeah, that's all good. But I'm telling you to do this one thing. This one thing, Lily. And so going back to the prison story, I went and prayed about it. And I said, okay, God, it hasn't gone away. It's still there. I'm just going to pray. And three things. And I said, if one of my team, you know, I had the My Story volunteer team at that time. If one of the guys, and I've already asked him before, and no one said yes. No one said, nope, you know, we're not available. We know. And I said, okay, if I asked again, one of my team members will say yes, and it will come in with me and start the program. Two, I'll have someone that I trust, someone that I counsel, speak to me directly about this. And three, you'll speak to me in your word. That was it. Within that week, God, it was all three was ticked. I sent a text out to my story team. It wasn't until the end of the day someone texted me back. And I, you know, during the morning I was like, yes. You know, no one is texting me back. Go, you know, very end at night, someone texted me. Jeremiah, he's not here. He texted me and said, sweet sis, I'll come in with you. The second one was I was babysitting and I was going over to Nally's, Pastor Nally and Tina's house to babysit and just to catch up with Mom Fortuna, which is Pastor Nally's mom. And she could see that there was something. Oh, you know when someone is in the spirit, they can read you and they can see. And she knows me so well. She knows me so well. She knew that there was something that I was thinking about. And she calls me princess, which is like, I love. It's like, yes. She said, what's bothering you? There's something I can see that's on your mind. And I said, and then I was like, oh, okay. Started telling her. I thought, yeah, she's going to say no, wisdom. No, you shouldn't go in. It's men's prison. So I was like, you know. Man, one thing she said, I said, well, you know, it's not right. I'm a girl. Like, why would I go and speak to men? You know, seeing a man. And, you know, and she goes, yeah. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, anything else? And I said, well, yeah, people are going to think, you know, crazy. Like, why is she going in there? And she goes, okay. She goes, and then she goes, what do you think God's telling you? And I go, well, every time I go into my word, it just hasn't gone away. And she goes, so are you going to obey God or are you going to obey? straight up, no, I'm not kidding you, these are exact words. So are you going to obey God or are you going to obey your own will and desire and your fear and what people say? And that was the second box ticked. And then the last one was when I went back to my word and God gave me Isaiah 61 again. It was nothing new. Isaiah 61, when I started my story, it was called my story back then. There was no 61 at the end. And then I went back to him just to pray, and he gave me Isaiah 61 again. And never read it that way, but I read it that way that night, that he will use you to set captives free, literally. if you read Isaiah 61, it's there. And I thought to myself, okay, I thought you meant just, you know, freeing people, healing and things like this, but if you want me to go into prison, yes, I'll go into prison. And then right there that night, I heard God say, Lily, I did not put the vision of my story in your heart just to reach the victims like yourself, just to reach out to those young girls and, you know, those who've gone through the same thing. I've also put it in your heart so you can reach those who have done it to you. And that, guys, was my Samaria. There was no way I wanted to help those who've done wrong to me. And those faces, I'm not saying that those guys in prison was that, but that's what they represented to me. They are the ones that did all this wrong in the community. You know, they deserve to be in there, right? That's our mindset. That's our mentality. But God said, those are my sons in there, Lily. They have never heard the love that you've experienced. And I need you to go in and speak about my love. I need you to go in and tell them, I have forgiven them. I have hope and a purpose and a plan for their lives. And that was my Samaria. That was something that was out of my own, that was out of my ability, out of my will. It wasn't even in there. I didn't want to do it. You know, but God also showed me and changed my heart and said, if you do this, they would be led to me. That's the goal. The power that I've put inside of you is not for your glory. It's not for everybody to say, my story is doing amazing things. No, it's to eventually allow people and lead these people to me. And that is the end of the Isaiah 61 scripture. It's so that we can build up oaks of righteousness so that they would be displayed for God's glory. And that is our life, that we would be oaks of righteousness displayed, as witnesses displayed for God's glory. Not necessarily for our glory, but for God's glory. So we are not just witnesses in what we say. That's another thing. I didn't just say I forgave. God, the Holy Spirit empowered me to action out what forgiveness looks like. We didn't just say, oh, you know, I've been healed from this. I feel great. You know, thank you, Jesus. I'll go to church every Sunday. No, you've been healed from whatever situation that you're in. You've been saved. These miracles in your life that we talked about, there's a purpose for that. It's so that you can display God's glory. And that is so that you can also lead others to Christ. And so going back to the superhero image, and I don't know if you guys have seen the latest Spider-Man. I'm sorry if I'm going to ruin it for you. The latest Spider-Man. Is it Far From Home? Yeah. Cool. So quick story. He kind of wants to go on vacation from being Spider-Man. which is really funny. And so he like goes and goes, nah, I don't want to do all this super Spider-Man stuff anymore. You know, I just want to go on vacation with my friends. And then he goes and goes to the airport, and in the suitcase, those of you remember, his auntie puts the suit in the suitcase, and he goes, and it's awesome. You know, he has a great time, but he's seeing chaos around him. He's seeing, you know, injustice that's happening. And he knows that it's there, right? But he still just wants to cruise with his friends and, you know, have the vacation. But later on, that injustice, that it was getting closer and it was getting to the point where it was affecting his friends and the possibility that his friends could possibly die. And he was sitting there with that power. He was sitting there with the suit in the suitcase. He wasn't using that. He wasn't doing anything about it. And so what happened, that stirred him. That was when Nick Fury finally challenged him and he said, are you going to step up? Are you going to actually realize that you have the power to save your friends and to save the world? Or are you going to just choose to go on vacation? It's up to you. And he left it at that. And I found it funny because I kind of refer it back to my life. Am I going to use what I know of God, what I know of what God has already done in my life, that power, am I going to use that? Or am I going just to leave it in the suitcase and watch generational curses destroy my family? Am I going to just leave that power there and watch my community go to hell? Am I going to just leave it out there and watch my colleagues cry out, you know, out of depression? Or am I going to pull it out and am I going to ask God, empower me so that I can also empower others? And so to end it, I pretty much... powerless. Are you going to choose to be powerless or are you going to choose purpose? Thank you.
It's amazing, Lily. And the reason why, obviously, I asked Lily to share is she's the embodiment of somebody who operates with the power of the Holy Spirit on her and in her life. Like she, as she's admitted, like there's, you know, she's an ordinary sister, but empowered by the Holy Spirit to do extraordinary things. And that's every single believer in this room. I'm actually, again, being empowered by the Spirit, wanting to change direction today and just touch on that scripture that Lily read, because this is what powerful Christianity looks like. If we can have Isaiah 61 here, I've got verses 1-4. I may not even get through the whole thing, but I just really sense the Lord wanting to highlight the scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be, that God may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Now, up until recently, when I used to read this scripture, I used to love all the first halves of the scripture. What I mean by this is I love the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, this is actually a prophecy of Jesus coming. Jesus would say, I'm the embodiment of this scripture, actually. But as followers of Christ, this is also the calling of everybody who lives in Christ, right? We love the first halves, and what I mean by this is we love the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anybody love that, right? Because the Lord has anointed me. Anybody like that, right? To bring good news, and then it stops there, right? I want to bring good news, but we don't focus on the poor, right? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, for the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I mean, you just want to get like your shout on when you proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You just love that. Woo, powerful. But to comfort those who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit,
they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Check this out, that he may be glorified. Guess what? He is glorified when we walk amongst the second halves. We love the first halves, but I want you to highlight when you read this, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the bound, the mourning, those in the ashes and of faint spirit. It's inconvenient to go to your Samaria, but that's what powerful Christianity looks like. Empowered Christianity looks like being aware, and I'm not saying that every single one of us is called to go to the prisons, but there are many around us that are in spiritual prisons that because of our self-focused, convenience-centered Christianity, we don't have eyes to see or ears to hear the cries of those who are just around us in their own Samaria, needing the gospel that you carry as a Christian. And if you're here today, and you may be in this state, maybe you feel poor, brokenhearted, captives, you're bound, you're mourning, you're in ashes, you have a faint spirit, like your spirit is weary. I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place. And I'm not talking about geographically, but you're around people that are witnesses. You're around people that have the power of the Holy Spirit living in them to bring you this hope that we have. We have been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to be his witnesses. There's power, but there's purpose to the power. The power of God is not to make you weird. Let me say that one more time. The power of God does not exist to make you weird as a Christian. You know, a lot of people like will say, oh, I got the power of God, and then they're just weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, just weird with it. Oh, I have a feeling the Lord is telling me you're supposed to go to Uganda even though I can't spell it. Like, you shall know them by their fruit. Like prophetic people, get some fruit in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. How do you love the person that you're even prophesying over? We love 1 Corinthians 13, but it's in the context of spiritual gifts, right? 1 Corinthians 12 is about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 is about prophecy. And the burger meat inside the buns is love. And yet there's a lot of prophetic people that are just prophesying angry, just with hatred and bitterness, no love. If you have no love, Paul says, you are like a noisy, resounding gong. And you need to let the Holy Spirit break your heart for what breaks his heart. And it's the poor. It's the brokenhearted. It's the captives. It's those who are bound. That's where, you know, Bono said it best. If you want to hear where God's heart beats the loudest, go amongst the broken. Walk amongst those who are broken. We love the gifts, but the gifts are best amplified amongst the second halves. And so my encouragement to all of you, you're around second half people. They're not identified as second half people, but they're in second half situations. And I'm here to tell you today that every nation Brisbane, I'm declaring as the pastor of this house, that we will be a second half church. A church that is anointed to be the first half to help bring that hope to the second half that they'll all be made whole. Because you know it takes two halves to make whole. And that's what we've been anointed for. But I wanted to ask you this simple question. Do you see the power of God in your life? And why not? And if you're around people today in your group that have not experienced the power of God, or maybe they find themselves in a second half situation, then I want to encourage you to pray for them and pray that they will encounter the power of God that will bring healing, that will bring restoration, that will deliver the captives out of slavery, because that's the God that desires for us to be a witness. That's how he desires us to move. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.